Sometimes we find ourselves wanting to get a fresh start. Maybe we feel like we're in a rut and would like to try something different. Maybe we might have made mistakes that can't be undone or gathered a reputation that you'd rather not keep. Maybe if your situation was different, you'd have opportunities to try something different to what you're doing now. Sometimes we choose to have a fresh start. Other times it's forced on us. It might be moving to high school, leaving home, getting a new job, moving to a new town, retirement. There are many times when we get a chance to leave things behind and to start again. Sometimes this will work out well, but often it falls short of our expectations. Because while a situation may change, we are still ultimately the same person. I don't know how many times I've seen a sports team sack their coach or manager and appoint a new person with a 5-year plan to reinvigorate the club and get them back to the performance their fans are hoping for, only for 5 years later for them to be still struggling because replacing one person at the top doesn't fix all the other underlying issues. We often think we can leave everything behind and get a fresh start, but the one thing we cannot leave behind is ourselves. A fresh start can be an improvement, but it can also be an opportunity to make the same mistakes again. And we have seen this several times so far in Genesis. So today we're looking at whether Abraham, in his call from God and God's promises to him, can be a truly fresh start for humanity. Then we look at if Abraham couldn't make the most of a fresh start, then who can? Finally, we'll see how Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises, how he makes us truly able to have a fresh start. But before we get into that, let's pray. Dear Lord, as we come to you today, we pray that you'll speak to us through your word. Please open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us today. Lord, I pray that you will guide my words, that I might speak your truth, and that you will use this time to bring all of us closer to you. Amen. Well, in our series so far, we have seen humanity fail again and be given a fresh start multiple times. In the beginning, God made Adam and Eve perfect in his image and put them in the Garden of Eden, and they enjoyed intimate relationship with him. Then Satan tempted the first humans. They disobeyed God, and they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. As a result of that, sin and its associated suffering entered the world, and much more importantly, man's relationship with God was destroyed. But there was still a glimmer of hope. God promised that one day one of Eve's descendants would crush the serpent, and from that point forward, we are looking forward to a time when Satan would be defeated and humanity would get a fresh start. But after the fall, sin continued to get worse, and God judged the world with a flood, but he chose to save one family who still trusted in him. Maybe after such a harsh judgment, with basically all humanity wiped out, maybe this would be the time for a fresh start. Would Noah and his family be that fresh start for mankind? But no, we saw quickly humanity again rejected God's plan and gathered together to try and compete with God's glory by building the tower at Babel. Again, God judged humanity, this time resulting in the confusion of languages. We're still waiting for the descendant of Eve who would crush Satan and sin. This leads us to wonder if anybody from all the groups who scattered from Babel might be able to make the most of another fresh start and be able to follow God. So we come to today's passage, where we see God again choose another family for his purpose. We're going to be covering all of chapters 12 to 15 today. While we don't have time to read through all of it during the service, I'll summarize the bits we don't get to. Hopefully you've been taking note of next week's passages on the back of your newsletter and reading ahead. It would be very helpful. And if you haven't been doing that, I'd recommend that you do that any Sunday, but especially for the rest of this series. We'll be covering quite a few chapters each week. So let's read the start of chapter 12 again, verses 1 to 3. Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, these first few verses are looking pretty promising. The last few times we've seen God interact directly with people, it has been to respond to some kind of rebellion. This time it's much more positive. Instead of God delivering curses or judgment, he comes with news of blessing. God has chosen Abraham, and this one man he's going to make a great nation. This nation will be blessed by God, and its fame will be renowned. Not only is this nation going to be blessed, but it will also bless all the peoples on earth. That includes you and I today. The promise that God makes to Abraham is the beginning of something new. So far, God has worked with certain people at different times. But now, God has chosen Abraham and his family, and he will continue to bless them forever. This is a massive shift. From now on, Abraham and his descendants will play a special role in God's relationship with humanity. So things are definitely looking pretty good here for a fresh start. Maybe this is going to be the fresh start that will stick and be a true turning point for humanity. It starts off pretty well. In the following verses, we see that Abraham trusts God. He does what God tells him, and he packs up his family and heads off to the strange new land that God leads him to. Once they get there, God confirms that this is the place, and Abraham builds an altar and gives glory to God. It's all sounding very good. But then we get to the second half of chapter 12, half of verses 10 to 20. I'll summarize that now. So sometime after Abraham arrived in this new land, there was a severe drought. So he went down to Egypt to look for food. Now Abram's wife Sarai was quite beautiful, and Abram was worried that the locals would bump him off so that they could have Sarai. So Abram says, "Why don't we pretend that you're my sister instead of my wife, so that they don't think that they can kill me and then have you?" Well, sure enough, that's what they do, and Pharaoh does think that Sarai is very pretty, and he takes Sarai into his harem. Then the Pharaoh hears about the true nature of Abram and Sarai's relationship, and fortunately for everybody, Pharaoh's ethics are much better than Abram had given him credit for. And Pharaoh quite rightly calls Abram in and takes him to task. He says, "What have you done? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife?" Pharaoh then returns Sarai to Abram and tells him to go back home. So here we see that Abram, who we're hoping might be the fresh start that God had promised, instead of protecting his wife, he cowardly lets her be taken away to be just another one of the women that Pharaoh uses. Forget being the leader of a great nation, he isn't even a good husband. And it doesn't get much better when Abram gets back to Canaan, because his nephew Lot gets caught up in the captivity and is taken away when a group of neighboring kings invades and captures the city where he was living. Now remember, Abram and Sarai hadn't been able to have any children of their own at this point. So Lot was as close as they had to any hope of becoming a great nation one day, and now Lot and his family have been carried away. The calling of Abram and God's promises are looking very much like a false start, not a fresh start. This is just another abortive attempt in a long line of failures of mankind to live up what God created them to be when he made them in his image. How are things going to work out to fulfill God's promises to Abraham, let alone the promise that one day one of Eve's descendants would crush Satan and bring a true fresh start for us? Well, it certainly isn't going to come from any of Abraham's doing, which brings us to our second point. In the second half of chapter 14, we see that Abram, after hearing of Lot's capture, gathers all the men he can and sets off to rescue Lot. He has a total of 318 men who are able to fight. And what kind of forces is he up against? Well, we aren't given any numbers, but the invading army with a coalition of four kings. These kings had defeated five local kings who had joined together to defend themselves. And it would seem reasonable to me that a king would be able to gather a lot more people than Abraham could just as a wealthy citizen. And remember that he isn't up against just one king, but four who've all joined together. For Abram to go and take on these four victorious kings in an effort to rescue Lot is insanity and doomed to failure. But that's exactly what he did. To be like a sausage dog deciding he could steal lunch from a Great Dane. It's not going to work out very well. But not only was Abram able to rescue Lot and his family, he was able to rescue all the other people who had been taken captive as well, and all the plunder that the invaders were carrying off. And not content with that, he chases the invaders right out of the area completely. With such odds against him, it is clear that God is the true power that was behind this victory, and not anything that Abram was able to do on his own. It's clear that what is happening here is the blessing that was promised to Abram. It has come about through God's choice to bless him, not because of any innate goodness or ability that Abram possessed. It is only through God's hand in action that we go from Abram selfishly and cowardly refusing to protect his wife to the same man being able to take on and defeat the combined army of four kings with only 300 men. The importance of God's actions in bringing us about the things he promises is further seen in chapter 15, which was read earlier. Here we see the promises from chapter 12 reiterated and expanded as God makes a binding covenant or promise to Abraham. I want us to focus on how God seals this covenant. Let's read from chapter 15, verse 7. And he also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how will I know that I can gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. And then if we continue on in verse 17. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, To your descendants I will give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. What we saw here is a ceremony that was quite common in Abram's time. When two parties were making an agreement or a covenant that was of utmost importance, animals would be split in two and placed in two rows. Then both parties to the agreement would walk down the middle in between the divided animals. When they did this, they were both saying that whoever broke this agreement, this covenant, should be treated like the animals, killed and torn to pieces. However, the difference from the typical use is in that this case, only God, represented by a smoking firepot with a blazing torch, passed between the pieces of the animals. In doing this, God is saying that he is taking complete responsibility for upholding both sides of the covenant. He's saying that no matter what Abraham or his descendants do, that God is going to hold up his end of the bargain. The sealing of this covenant with Abraham also foreshadows the coming of Jesus. As the story of the Bible unfolds and God's people continue to rebel against him, God is always faithful and he never abandons them. In contrast to people, when Jesus comes and lives among us, he doesn't make the same mistakes. He is able to endure every temptation and not give in to sin. And this is where the unimaginable happens. Even though God and Jesus have held up their end of the bargain all the way through, Jesus voluntarily becomes like the broken animals in order to deal with the sin that's been holding us back since the fall. Jesus willingly dies. He takes the punishment of our rebellion onto himself at the cross and dies in our place. This is what finally enables us to make a truly fresh start. So what can we learn from the story of Abraham about what it means for us to truly be able to make a fresh start? Well, let us return back to the promises God made to Abraham and look at how they play out. God had promised Abraham several things. He promised blessing both to him and his descendants and the whole world. He promised offspring as numerous as the stars. And he promised a land to make them a great nation. Well, by the time of Abraham's death, these promises had started to be fulfilled, but they were still a long way from coming to their full realization. Abram was certainly quite blessed. God had given him two children in his old age and had become quite wealthy, and he had a relationship with God. The offspring were certainly not nearly as numerous as the stars yet, with only Isaac and Ishmael having been born. And as for the land of a great nation, well, when Sarah died, Abraham had to buy a plot of land and just be able to bury her properly. So what's the go? Well, let's look at our reading from Hebrews and see what it tells us. If we look at Hebrews 11 from verse 13, it reads, "All these people were still living by faith. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they are longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." We see here God is faithful to his promises, and it is in Jesus and the church today that these promises are fulfilled. Jesus was a fresh start that finally enabled all of us to receive God's promises and for them to come true. All the people who'd come before Jesus had not been able to overcome sin or crush Satan. But because Jesus was both man and God, in his life he was able to resist Satan and to live a life without sin. It is in Jesus' death and resurrection in our place that the promised descendant of Eve crushes sin and enables our relationship to be restored with God. This truly is the greatest blessing we could ever hope for. Through Jesus, Abraham's future descendants are now more numerous than the stars. And for the great nation, well, Jesus' kingdom now extends over all the earth, wherever his believers and his followers are. It was Abraham's faith that enabled him to be part of God's plan to restore humanity and to give it a fresh start. Back in Genesis 15, verse 6, we saw that Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. The good news for us today is that we are able to be adopted into Abraham's family and we can share all the blessings that are promised to Abram. The difference here is that we live in a time when all those promises are seeing their fulfillment in Jesus. When we put our faith in Jesus, our heart of stone is taken out and replaced with a heart of flesh. The power of sin is broken in our lives, and we are able to have a truly fresh start. I talked about having a fresh start at the beginning of this sermon, and I said the one thing we can't leave behind is ourselves. But if we put our faith in Jesus, he makes us a new person. We can put behind our old self. This is the only way we can truly make a completely fresh start. And just like God's blessing to Abram, this is a gift from God, not something we have to qualify or earn somehow. All we have to do to have a truly fresh start is to confess our sins to God and put our faith in him for our salvation, and we can have a fresh start in him. But like Abraham and all those who came before Jesus look forward in hope to the completion of God's promises, we also still have more to look forward to. Jesus has come and made it possible for our heart to be changed, enable us to truly live for God. He has fulfilled the promise of a Savior that was made to Adam and Eve. But the final fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham is still to come. We have promised that Jesus is going to return for a final time. Then we'll be blessed to spend eternity in heaven with God. In heaven, the curse of sin is completely removed, and all the pain, death, suffering, and sadness that comes along with sin will be no more. All of the offspring that Abraham has will be gathered there together. Everyone who has put their trust in God for their salvation will be there. Jesus is preparing a glorious new Jerusalem, a new city for us to live in, the final fulfillment of the promise of the land promised to Abraham. This should be an enormous encouragement as we continue to live our lives as Christians. We have an eternal hope. We have a hope which would make all the struggles we experience in this life but a distant memory. And I'd also invite anyone here who would like to be part of this hope, to receive the promises and blessing of Abraham. I'd like to invite them to join that family. If you'd like to know more about that, please come and talk to one of us here at St. Aidan's. Ask us about what it means to be a Christian and to be adopted into Abraham's family and the promises that God has made to him. In Jesus, we have a true fresh start. We have the promises of God and a hope that is eternal. Let me pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that in Jesus, the promises you have made to Abraham and all down through history are ours. We thank you that we can put our faith in you and that you give us a fresh start, that our old lives are gone and we are a new person. I pray that you'll help us to be encouraged by this, to be encouraged by the promises we are yet to receive. That you help those of us who are still outside of your family to come to you. Pray that you help us to share this hope and this blessing with all those around us. In your name, Lord. Amen.